Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome back. Happy Thursday. I want to make a note for everybody here that comes and stays with us this hour that next Thursday is Thanksgiving. And for those of our fan base that are outside the United States, that is the day that we get together with family and we give thanks for everything that we have in our lives throughout the year. So I hope that you will understand that Dr. Allen and I will be spending that time with our families, and we will be playing one of our wonderful recordings for you next Thursday. And I don't know if Sue's here, but she might have some information for you. Sue, are you there?
I'm here.
Awesome.
I just want to go through our announcements. Dr. Allen has her Los Angeles first Monday of every month at the Courtyard Marriott. The next one will be on Monday, December 5th. And you can get the information on our website. And then on the first Wednesday of every month in Orange County at the Community Center, and that will be Wednesday, December 7th. And starting in January of 2017, we will be moving our Orange County seminar. We are currently at the Costa Mesa Community Center. We will be moving to the Newport Beach Civic Center, and that's over by Fashion Island. And all of the information is on our website, drpatallen.com, D-R-P-A-T-A-L-L-E-N. And then for those of you that live in the area, we have our monthly dream class and our monthly life script class. And if you live out of the area, Dr. Allen is also available to read your life script. Dr. Allen will talk about it later during the webinar, what the life script's about and how it can benefit your life and the outcome for what you have going on to change your script. Go ahead.
Sue, That is a phone session. That is not a webinar, correct?
The life script, we have it in office for six people in Orange County, but there are a lot of people that live out of the area. We cannot offer the life script via a webinar or in a group setting because of the it's a lot of information. It's very sensitive information, personal and sensitive. So it has to be done either in a small group or one-on-one. And for the people that live out of the area, Dr. Allen can read your script individually. It would be, if you're inquiring, I can send you the questionnaire and then you can set up. It's generally 1 hour time to read the life script. And Dr. Allen can go over more detail on exactly what the life script reading is about.
Exactly. Awesome. Okay. Terrific. That is great information. All right. Dr. Allen, you're on the air.
Yes, I appreciate it, and I really do like to do the life scripts. They are very revealing and very well organized. So if anybody wants, if you're close enough, you can be in a class, small class, and if you're far away, you can be on the phone with me.
You want to go over what the life script is about?
Oh, one more thing, Sue. Let me interrupt. Is there a number they can call or an email address they can contact you about the life script?
Oh, they can contact me at info@drpatallen.com. That's D-R-P-A-T-A-L-L-E-N.
All right. Perfect.
And what is a life script? Well, it can start at 7 months in utero, when mother lives in an anxious marriage or a scary place, that baby can pick up that anxiety. But luckily, cortisol does not cross the placental barrier, so we don't die of the anxiety. Then when a child is born, within 1 month, it is picking up nonverbal messages, tones of voice, gestures, postures, and facial expressions. And these are conveyed through the people that are taking care of a baby. Babies can't really use words well enough until they're 3 years old. So much of what happens to them in those first 3 months of life is just neurologically imprinted. Claude Steiner has a nice book, and it's called Scripts People Live. And I'm a transactional analyst, and this technique of reading scripts is basically based on what Eric Byrne created in the way of communication. We're either intimidating, we're either seducing, or we're negotiating. And those start with words at 3 years old. If I go to a preschool, I can see the bullies, scripted to be bullies. I can see the whiners. I can see the negotiators. And that's the kind of thing that goes through your life. And by the time you get to your, quote, 18th year, you are scripted to believe that your way of living is the right way. And when I read your script and I'm just responding to your answers, that's when you see and I see that you're scripted to be someone other than yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody decided you should be like them.
Right, right.
So it's a wonderful, it's a very rewarding technique.
Very, very interesting. I think Sue might have some other information that we, oh, there she is.
I forgot to tell everybody. Once a month, Dr. Allen and I, we conduct a live webinar. It's kind of like the one that Dr. Allen does in Orange County and L.A., where she takes people from the audience and she answers their question, where we're doing it through a virtual website. It's a webinar. It starts at 6:15 Pacific Standard Time tonight, so it's 15 minutes after the radio show ends, and it's a $10 registration fee, and it is limited. If you want to register, you need to go to www.wantistore.com and register for the November 17th webinar, and I will send you an invitation to log in between 6 and 6:05. You'll get your login information. I cannot guarantee if you register after 6:05 that I can get you the registration. So please make sure if you're going to register that you register before 6 o'clock. And that's it.
Okay, great. So looks like we may have a caller. And let's see. Yeah, there's a caller. Hello, caller. Okay. There they are. Hi, caller. You're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yeah, hi. How are you? My question is, a man was seeing me. We're not seeing each other anymore, but still wanted to ask. He was a bit flaky when making plans, so he would ask and then kind of like not follow up on the day of. And how do you talk to a man who does that? Because I don't want to preach or bitch at him like in such a way where it's repulsive, but how do you address that? Because it's very, in my
what
opinion,
you're talking about is a passive aggressive human being.
That's exactly why we're not dating anymore.
Yeah, well, there's a wonderful book by let me see, it's called Living with the Passive Aggressive Man. And right now, Kelly, have you got the name of the person who wrote that book?
I can get it for you, Dr. Allen. One
I'd
second.
Love it. It's what?
All right. Living with a Passive Aggressive Man. Got it, Dr. Allen. It says, It's available on Amazon.
Yes.
And the author is... Okay, Dr. Ellen, is this the one? Living with a passive-aggressive man, coping with hidden aggression from bedroom to boardroom.
Yes.
Scott Wetzler.
There it is. I was saying Scott Wetzler's, and I didn't believe my brain.
Well, you are the original card catalog, Dr. Ellen. I will say that.
I understand that.
You can also go, Pat's book recommendation list is on wantinstitute.net. It's got all of
them. Isn't that .org, Susie?
Yeah, .org.
Mm-hmm. The way handle a passive-aggressive person is once you know, first I want to make a statement. The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else is by the commitment you're willing to make. Well, now...
That's exactly what I think of when I think of the situation.
I know it.
I listen to you a lot. It's so funny.
The truth is, this is where scripting comes in. If a man is over-controlled by his mother, his only way to upend her is to say, yes, Mom, I'll do it, and then not do it. Do you see?
Mm.
So the problem
I just have
is,
one thing to add, though. He would ask me out, and then
It's the same thing.
That doesn't have
do
to do with that.
Okay. What's weird is they set up an appointment or a date, and then they don't follow through because the should that they say to themselves isn't their should, it's her should. Now, here's how you deal with the passive-aggressive man once you know it. Number one, you never ask him for anything. I want to go this, I want to do that, whatever. Here's what you do. I'll give you an example. I'm going to go see the blank blank movie. If you want to join me, meet me at the car or the door. Do you see? You tell them what you're going to do, or you don't tell them anything. And when they make a commitment, I want to take you to the movies or whatever, they have the right to cancel the date. That's not passive aggressive. They just didn't want to keep it. Breaking a commitment is standing you up, not letting you know
that's what he did.
He stands you up.
He doesn't cancel. He just literally does not. He'll reach out, but act like nothing happened.
That's passive
aggressive. Hi, I'm at my niece's soccer game. I don't say anything, but I'm like, okay.
Here's what you do. When you ask for something, are you willing to come over for dinner? You know, or some, when you ask him to do something, no, you don't do it. I'm cooking myself a great dinner on Sunday. If you want to come, please be there at 3. Now look at the difference. The words you say are, I'm doing this if you want to come. You know what the passive-aggressive person does? They know you're inviting them, but you haven't asked them to do it. So they end up not doing it, but then they realize you've caught on. Don't ask them to do anything. Tell them what you're going to do. And if they want to come or if they want to do it, fine. Now, if he makes a date with you and doesn't show up, you say one of two things. I must have misunderstood that you asked to see me on Friday night. Is that correct? That's where you assume the responsibility for initiating the deal. And the other thing is, don't mention it at all. And you'll see what he does is he'll apologize. I was busy. I was this. I understand that. I want anybody who's listening to recognize the following statement. When somebody you're not interested stands you up, you say, fine, it doesn't matter. But when somebody wants you to react, it matters a great deal. And they apologize, and you say, I understand. You just were busy. So please recognize the book by Scott Wetzler. Thank you, God. Scott Wetzler, Living with a Passive Aggressive Man, is you're with a person who can't make agreements and can't keep the ones he makes. But if you're interested in seeing how to handle them, do what I said. Don't ever ask them to do anything. Tell them what you're going to do. And if they want to join you, fine. That way they have to initiate. If they stand you up and don't notify you that they can't make the date, then assume this is what you do. I must have misheard you. Because what they do then, they know they did it. You're upending their guilt trip, their seductive guilt trip. Do you see? Or do the best, which is don't respond to it at all.
That's what I had been doing. But after the third time, I was...
The
was
third time...
I don't see him anymore.
Yeah,
so.
that's right.
I'm not in it to change anyone, you know, if that's the way he
that's
is.
Right.
I just said, okay, but, well, I'm just, like you said, I wasn't willing, I didn't want to tolerate, and I really wasn't willing to...
No, you don't.
So I just kind
therefore,
of said, no, thank you.
You just did fine. If he says, why aren't you willing to see me? Because you're passive aggressive. What's that? Read the book.
Read the book. It's on Amazon. Okay. Great.
Okay.
That's very
good.
Helpful. I appreciate
yes.
it.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, caller.
All right.
Okay. Very interesting question.
That is a very interesting question. I just went to a little class on it to be upgraded, and I'm still doing what I like doing with passive-aggressive situations, and it does work.
Hello?
Except, hello?
We got a caller, Dr. Allen. Hi, caller. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Terrific.
I'm fine.
Perfect. Good. Quick question. I should say it's fairly new. So I guess I would say it's a guy that's dating me, but we've only been out on one date. However, now ever since the one date we had, he's reaching out for last minute things. Last night he texted me, it was 10 o'clock at night, and he texted me a flyer of a party that was going on. And all he said was, you coming? Question mark. And I looked at him like, does he think he's talking to someone else or whatever? And I said, no. I said, I didn't even know about this till now. And he was like, yeah, me neither. I'm just pulling up. And this seems to be his norm lately of wanting to do things, but super last minute or not definite. And I know, Dr. Allen, you always say don't dictate the date. So I'm kind of conflicted on how I should go about it. I mean, that happened. And then this past weekend, the same situation kind of happened. He told me he may be in my neighborhood, and I told him I had a dinner party at a girlfriend's house. So I said, do you want me to text you when I get back into my area? And he said, sure. So I was still at my girlfriend's house, and I texted him, and I said, oh, I'll probably be back home around 9:30. And he takes an hour almost to text me back and says, well, I'm not in your area, but I may be back up there. So when he said that, I took that as saying it's not definite that I'm coming back. So I said to him, I said, oh, well, since it's getting late, I'm just going to stay at my girlfriend's. Because
there
where I was
go.
At, he knows the area.
Perfect.
It was like an hour. Okay.
He's playing a game of kick me. He is so shy, so inadequate, do you see, that he is testing you for usability. If you put up
really?
With his games, you're a doormat. And he can use and abuse you. If you do
okay.
what you did, you said, no, I'm going to my girls. That's the date. You know, thank you for asking. Be very courteous about the request. And when he makes those other options, you did beautifully.
Thank you. That's what I was thinking. Thank you. Because I was looking at it like I wasn't sure if he was coming back to my neighborhood or not. So it was like a 50-50 chance when he said, well, I'm in such and such area, I may be back in your area. And at that point, I was like, you know what? It's getting late. I'm just going to stay at my girlfriend's. And then he responded,
exactly
okay.
Right. You see? What he was doing was wanting you to mother him by giving, protecting, and cherishing his feelings over your own.
Right. Okay. So then I guess moving forward, how should I address this? Like last night, obviously, I didn't leave my house at 10 o'clock at night and go to meet him at this party. So now I'm kind of like, how do I stop this spiral? I mean, our first date was nice.
You don't have
but again,
to
I don't
stop
know this
them
guy.
Here. I want you to deal okay. with every invitation gratefully. Oh, it sounds great, okay. but it's too late.
Okay. Gotcha.
Oh, thank you so much for asking, but I have already got plans.
If I see, and hopefully by, okay.
If he's really interested in you, and he may easily be because you're hard to get and he likes the chase, he will say, okay, what are you doing on Friday? He'll start organizing his plans.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. That's
but
what I was
don't
thinking.
Don't criticize him because that's what he's looking for. He's playing kick me. You kick him, then he gets to hate women and kick you back.
I see. And he's 53, by the way, just an FYI.
What?
If that matters. He's 53, by the way,
well,
if that matters any.
Yes,
his
that
behavior,
matters.
I
that
mean,
matters because it means he's switching chemistry over to feminine estrogen and he's getting off his testosterone, which is a diminution. You know, it's interesting. The guys are all checking their testosterone, which is muscle building. That's great. But they need to check their estrogen as well, because that's the one that is the depression one. That's the one that's the feeling one. He sounds like he's afraid to really negotiate. So he seduces with guilt when you have to turn him down. Or worse than that, he's intimidating you with his unruly request, waiting for you to jump on him so he can sass back to you. He's a game player.
Interesting. I see. And maybe that's the reason why he's, I asked him, I said, have you ever been married? He says, no. And I said, do you have kids? He said, no. And I was thinking, well, 53, never been married, no kids. Like, you know, it, not saying that's not something that could
he
happen,
may,
but it just
he may like
odd.
To play games more than negotiate. Remember, we have three ways. Intimidation with fear, seduction with guilt, and negotiate
right.
with love. Win-win. Negotiate.
Got it.
Win,
yeah, so
lose.
I'll just, okay.
Okay?
Perfect.
You handle the time.
Thank you. I just wanted to double check, so I'll just keep doing what I've been doing, and we'll see if he finally
see
comes back
he molds
to actually
around.
Making a date.
Give him
yeah,
three dates minimum.
Okay. Yeah, we've only had one, so hopefully he'll get the hint and start making some plans. So we'll see.
That's right.
Perfect.
He may ask.
You.
He may really make a deal. He may negotiate.
Hopefully. Okay. We'll see. I hope so. He seems nice, so we'll see. But thank you guys so much. Have a good night.
Thank
okay.
you. You too, darling.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
All right. Another great call. And we have another one coming in, Dr. Allen. The switchboard is on fire tonight. I love it.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, let's see. We're going to pick up our caller, I think, in about 10 seconds.
Hello.
Oh, there we go. Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. You have a question.
Yes, I do. I'm 69, and I've been celibate for almost 4 years by my own choice okay. because I kind of took myself out of dating. But I joined
because I
was kind of in transition, moving to another city and,
Okay.
And also, like I said, I have a hip problem. I need to have some hip replacements, but anyway, so I joined a dating service over 50 years old. So yes. I met a guy. Well, he met me the other night. He picked me out of the picture.
Who spoke first?
He did. He sent me an email and said, I like the way you look.
And you were the girl.
Right. So he asked me, he said, let's go for a glass of wine. Yeah, right. So he wanted to go for a glass of wine. So we ended up going out yesterday afternoon. He said we would just meet for one glass of wine, but we seemed like we talked and hit it off so well, you know, and talking and everything. So we ended up having dinner where we were.
Ooh, that sounds good.
So then we just kept talking. And then when we got back to my house, he seemed like he didn't want to end the night. So I said, would you like to come in for a while?
That's fine.
So he came in, we sat and talked some more, and then he wanted to hold hands. So we held hands for a while, and then we kissed. I know. So then we kissed before he left. But what I'm wondering is, Pat, can you develop? I don't feel chemistry for him.
I got news for you. Give him two more dates.
Okay. That's what I thought you had said. So
yes. Give any man who's decent three times. And the reason for that is the way he operated was really plush and lush, you know? So he made an effort, which I think would be appropriate for you to investigate at least for two more times.
Oh, I do too. Yeah, I agree. But what I'm wondering...
Are you turned on more by men that are unavailable?
I have been in the past, but not really, though. No, because one thing about it is, I'm just wondering, is it the fact, can chemistry grow if you don't feel it at first?
Watch. Chemistry is necessary for a man.
Okay.
His penis tells him. Immediately. But we women don't operate that way. I asked you a very point question. Are you usually attracted to men that you want, that are unavailable? Because that's the kind of man that a masculine woman likes. Because masculine women are like men. They want what they feel chemistry for, but they're frightened to have some man who's more attracted to you than you are to them. But I always advise women, if you ever get to date a man that wants you more than you want him, lucky you. That's
I agree. I agree. And this guy is an alpha too, I can tell. And
yes,
see, I'm an alpha.
Understand.
I'm an alpha myself.
Yeah, but listen to this. He operated like a barracuda alpha. He kept you with him for a whole evening.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you a little something. Part of you didn't like that.
I had a nice time. I was there. I was really enjoying it. And one thing about it, I really liked it. And that's what I'm saying. But I don't know. I'm just afraid that the relationship's not going to work out, I think.
Did you hear what you just said?
What?
You're used to wanting them before they want you. That's, if your dad walked in the door, would he say, how did you do today? Or how did you feel today?
He'd say, how do you feel?
He'd say, how you feel?
Right.
Was your mother a man or a woman? Who was the head of the house?
My mother was.
That's right. And guess what? If your mother was masculine, your father was feminine.
Yeah, but he was so lady, there, to me,
you,
though.
You like chasing men.
No, I really don't, because it makes me feel bad. And see, that's what I'm saying. My father treated us good, though. He cherished all of the women,
Your father was your mother.
Right. I know that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's look at that date. You're calling a therapist right now and saying, I didn't have chemistry for him.
Right.
I got news for you. You're the girl. He's the guy.
Okay.
You're the egg. You sit there.
Okay. He told me, he said, I want to see you naked. I'm just going to be honest. And he said, I'm looking for a lover, not just a girlfriend, a buddy. He said, because I don't want that. He said, I'm looking for a lover.
He said, he already told you what he wanted. He scared you, my chicky friend. You understand?
Maybe so. Because
Please don't run him off. And don't have sex with him until he's committable.
Okay.
Don't use him sexually, sir.
I don't want to use him sexually. And see, I think I'm kind of afraid, because after I learned about all of your teachings about oxytocin and everything,
and I look back
on my life, and I think all the men I got involved with just because they were good in bed, I think, you know, I don't want to go through that anymore.
That's what I just, do you realize I haven't talked to you, and I've already understood who you are by what you're doing with this guy. And now you're backing me up with evidence. Would you like to egg this trip?
What?
What does the egg do? The egg sits there, and it waits for the cute little sperms to chase.
Okay.
So let
which a lot of men are chase. Doing, but like, yeah, okay, that's true.
All right.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Like I said, I've had bad luck with men because I always picked with my eyes. I always picked someone that was good in bed, regardless of anything else that they had going.
But
I got hurt a lot. See, and
they were not buildables.
Yeah, and I got scared because I got hurt so many times, and
you
I think
why?
I don't want to go through that.
Because you picked a girl with a penis. Why don't you be the girl?
Okay. All right. Yeah.
You not have intercourse with this alpha,
unless
he puts a promise ring or an engagement ring on your finger.
Okay.
Will you do that?
Yeah, I will. Like I said, I will.
All right.
it's probably best with my past not to be sexually turned on by somebody.
I got news for you. I want them to turn you on. I don't want you to turn you on.
Okay.
And I like what he's saying and what he's doing.
Okay, yeah, because he was definitely honest. Maybe I was kind of scared by that. Yeah.
You know, say that again.
I was kind of afraid when he said, I want a lover, not just a girlfriend. Because, see, a girlfriend would be safe for me. See, I would feel safe in that.
Do you see every word out of your mouth is backing up what I'm saying?
No, I know. Because that's why I included your teaching, because I said she did it.
I appreciate your mom gave you a demonstration model of a masculine woman.
Right.
And I appreciate your daddy was really your mommy. But you're talking to me now. And I'm asking you, do you want to be cherished or do you want to be respected?
I want to be cherished.
Well, then why don't you act like a girl?
Okay.
That's passive, patient.
Okay, I'm not going to chase him. What I did today I just sent him a text and I said, I had a nice time. I want to thank you for the time we had together yesterday. That was all.
Receptive to his dates, not your dates. Okay?
Okay. So, but I'm not going to say anything else to him unless he says something to me.
All right.
Thanks, caller. Good luck.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, Dr. Allen, we have a call coming in from London. And this caller's been trying to get through for a couple of weeks. So I'm really excited that she's going to get through now.
Here we go.
Hey, caller.
Hey.
You got to turn your radio down, sweetie.
Yes, we're good. Yeah.
Okay, hello.
Here we go. Oh, hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Good. Thanks for calling. What can I do for you?
So, I have a question primarily about the difference between making money from the feminine and making money from the masculine.
Oh, good. Do you want me to answer it now?
Well, perhaps I can give you a short background. I was raised by two narcissists. My father was a musician, and he never asked me what I wanted to do, even though I showed inclination towards singing and music. He made me play his instrument for 12 years. And because my mom herself had unfulfilled artistic aspirations, she thought that that was the right thing to do because she never had guidance and people maintaining that kind of discipline. And obviously, I ended up very traumatized. And
I want
this point
you to know, I want you to know that for those of you that are listening, this is what scripting does. You know a lot about it, but you're asking a question. The way women make money is by finding a man who has it, by being a woman. Harvard did a big study in the 90s. They asked 10,000 people on the campus or wherever, why did you mate, which is marriage without a document, and why did you marry? That's mating with the document. Two-thirds of all men said, I want to mate or and marry in order to have sensual and sexual stability. That means they want a home, a resting place, a nice place, kids, whatever. One-third of men mate and marry for status. I'm with her. She's rich. Or security, financial, gigolos. Two-thirds of women mate and marry for stature, Mrs. So-and-so, and financial stability. One-third of women mate and marry for sensual and sexual stability. They're called cougars. So we're all either trying to get laid or paid. Your parents scripted you to get paid for activities. Yes. Do good to feel good. Your mother was a man and your father was a man. Do you see? But when a woman is creative, she creates off her masculine. When a man creates, he creates off his feminine. So they fit together. Now, I want you to tell me, do you want to mate or marry? Do you want to be laid or paid?
Well, in a relationship, I definitely want to be the feminine. But speaking career-wise...
Which is that? Is it laid or paid to be feminine?
Oh, no, definitely paid.
All right. Does that mean that she can't study art, that she can't play musicians? The thing is, she's a woman with a career, not a career woman.
Yes.
What are you? You know, are you a career woman or a woman with a career?
You see, and this is what I'm finding very difficult to answer.
I just
because
want you to answer. Are you a career woman or a woman with a career? Are you married?
No, divorced.
Were you married to a man or a girl with a man's body?
Oh, no, definitely a girl in a man's body. He was a musician. He was the artistic one. I was the one taking care of things, even though he was 21 years older than me.
And who divorced who?
He divorced me.
That's right.
Eventually.
You know why? Because he was a man, and you were a man.
Yeah.
There's too many men here.
Yeah.
Now, do you want to marry again?
Only if I choose to have children in the future, not at present.
How
definitely
old are
not.
You? How old are you?
31.
All right. 30, do you want to have children?
I am a lot more focused on fulfilling myself right now. My desire towards dance.
I got
so
news
I guess
for you.
I would be more of a career woman.
Your fertility is limited. Your prime year is your 35th year. You're 31 now. If you're ever going to consider having kids, have them young, build your career later. I'm 82 years old. I've had 4 kids, 5 grandkids, 2 granddaughters, and 2 great-grandkids. Now, that I couldn't do now. Now I'm a career woman. Then I was a woman with a career.
Yeah, I get you fully. But, you know, I love dance, and this is what I want to go towards. And, you know, I can't be a dancer at 80 or at 70. Even at 50 is already really challenging. Yeah.
But I know for a fact that dancers can know when they're off duty and off the stage. You could have a man who wants you to be a woman with a career he supports. Have you never met a man that liked you as a dancer?
Oh, yeah, I have met a few, yeah.
Why don't you marry one of them?
When I get myself back on the market, then yeah, that would have to be a must, you know, because not having my own identity, not being able to live according to my own will, that would be
a
must.
You sound like a career woman.
Do I?
Yeah. You think identity is garnered by career. No, identity is garnered by the balance of your life. If you want to have a man who wants you as a woman and with kids with him, then you've got to make sure you've got him in your life. But you can't have him in your life if he's a career man and you're a career woman. One of you has got to make the relationship a priority. And it's better done when you do it, not him.
Yes.
He can make babies a lot longer than you can.
Yeah, of course.
So would you consider knowing how many hours of a week you are going to dance for fun and to go to parties and to bowl and whatever you do to meet men, go on the websites. How many hours a week are you going to be a woman looking for a man?
That's definitely something that I need to decide on right now.
Right now.
I was envisioning only a companionate relationship for now as I'm developing myself.
No, dear. Get a serious one. Companions are just to get laid. You said you want to get paid and be honorable and a wife. No. What you're saying is, I want to be a playmate to men. That just makes you a player. Get your man. But it's got to be a man that wishes you well in your career.
Yeah. But
and that would
be
an artist or a musician. Okay?
That would be or wouldn't be.
Would. Go do what your would mom be. And dad did.
So, you know, what I'm afraid of is that the relationship would take over and there wouldn't be support for, you know,
I got
for
news
my
for you.
development.
I got news for you. Your dad did it for your mom.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave now because I've laid the eggs that I want to lay, and you can go out and grow the chickens if you want.
All right. Awesome. Okay, Dr. Allen, I have a question for you here.
What?
This one came in, and I want to get to it because I think it's a great question. I have a family wedding this weekend in Ohio. I live in Illinois. My parents reserved two rooms in a hotel. She said, don't worry about your room. We're paying for it. One of the rooms was for me and my family, and the other was for my parents. Myself and my children had a bad upper respiratory cold thing going on. The drive is 7 hours, one way only, gone Friday through Sunday. And I told my mother I don't feel up to going, and my kids are just getting well. She said, now she's stuck with an extra hotel room for two nights, which equals about $160. I called the hotel to see if I could cancel my room. Since my mom prepaid, they said they cannot cancel it. Should I feel obligated to give her the money for the room?
Yes.
Okay.
Of course.
Can you expand on that, Dr. Allen, for our message?
Obviously, mother wants her $160 back more than she wants. She's so ticked off that the daughter isn't going to go to the wedding or whatever it is that she's guiltifying her. That's part of scripting.
Right, right.
And so the daughter needs to recognize that for this situation, to keep her mother comfortable, give her the stinking $160, cut down her Christmas present, or have her take it out of your inheritance.
I like that.
The point is, they both have a cause. Do you see?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The mother wants the money as a sign of restitution, and the daughter wants the mother to slough the money, and the mother doesn't want to do that.
Right, right. Very interesting, Dr. Allen. Very interesting. So, yeah, and with the holidays coming up, it's a little bit more of a thing.
That's right. The truth of the matter is the mother feels guilty about facing the people at the social event without her daughter, because without her daughter, she looks like an impotent mother that can't get her kids to do it right. Scripting.
Right. Scripting. Again, scripting. So speaking of that, since we have a minute or two before we go, I wanted your thoughts on what's going on across the nation since the Democratic process decided that Mr. Donald Trump would be our president.
Well, the truth of the matter is we decided to break up the ball game as it's been organized very seriously for many years, and we're going into what is called chaos theory. Mm-hmm. If you want to read a book on it, read Buchanan's book, Nexus.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how you create something new and different. Democracy is a series of creations. Dictators aren't that. Oligarchies aren't that. Slavery isn't that. But democracy says every 4 years, we're going to go back to chaos theory.
Mm-hmm.
Now, chaos theory is chaos, which is chaos. We're in it right now.
But it's a very creative thing. Chaos can be
very creative. You can't create without chaos. Mm-hmm. If you've ever been in an artist studio, it is a mess.
Yes. Actually, when I was a film and television editor, and I was doing a very creative job, my studio often looked like monkeys had been swinging around in there.
That's right. Now remember this. Chaos is the beginning, creativity. Then it goes to complexity. Complexity, we'll do this and we'll do that, and the son-in-law and the whatever, and Hillary and whatever. That's the complexity. That's the beginning of organization. Then guess where it goes? It goes to networking.
Mm-hmm.
And networking is what we just came out of for 8 years. Mm-hmm. Everybody knew where everybody was and what everybody was doing. They were all loggerhead.
Right.
Did you understand that the government was created to bump into each other rather than work together? Well,
yes.
Guess what? Now we get to go to chaos and straighten it out.
Very, very interesting.
And we're seeing
a lot of chaos.
Read Buchanan's book, Nemesis. No, not Nemesis. Yeah, Nemesis. There's another book about the Kennedy families, and it's Nemesis. This book is called, if it isn't Nemesis, it's, what is it?
Not sure on that one, but we are out of time.
Got it. Well, it's close to that word, but it's Buchanan's book.
All right. Well, we'll find it, and I'll put something up on Facebook for our people. So I want to remind everybody that Sue has just a short time more that you can register for her webinar after this radio show at 6:15. But if you want to register, you need to get registered either than so 5.
I just had a bunch of register, and I'm sending out the invitations.
Okay, great. Well, we are
out of time. The name is Nexus.
Nexus. Okay, great. That's all the time we have for tonight, and we love you guys. Remember, we will not be here next Thursday. We're going to be with our families. We hope you'll be with your families, too. We'll run a great recording for you, and we'll be with you the Thursday after Thanksgiving. Thank you so much. We love you. Bye-bye. Mwah.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.